Ago, God was laying this upon my heart, and I think I testified here recently about the young man I spoke to over at the Claymart there in Pryor, Oklahoma. A little boy, a young man, actually, I touched my heart just because of his testimony. And you know, I couldn't get that out of my head, and I want to go ahead and begin this message. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the word, and then I'll go into this context here. My text is found in Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 and 22 will be my key text here. And it reads like this: "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left." My message tonight, church, is road of mercy through walls of grace. The road of mercy through walls of grace. And I think, church, if you can just visualize this, that road of mercy was that dry seabed. The walls of grace was that water that was being held up. You know, church, we get these ideas of the crossing of the Red Sea. We tend to visualize just one small column of people going through. Church, there was over 2 million people and animals crossing. That is a lot to cross through the Red Sea. And we visualize, and we've been given these images of Moses standing way up on a cliff or way up on a rock. And many times we don't realize Moses was probably standing on the seashore looking right at the water as he put his staff over that. We get these images that people portray, but you know, God has made it so simple for us. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for the testimonies tonight, dear God. We thank you for who you are and what you will be doing, Lord God, in these last days. We thank you, dear God, for giving us peace. We thank you, dear God, for giving us salvation. We thank you, dear God, for giving us hope. We thank you, dear God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear God, you are still an awesome God, and you still reign, Lord God. You still suspend this earth out in space, Lord God. You still speak to the stars, Lord. You still hold the constellations in your hands, dear God. You hold everything in this world in your very hands, Lord God. And you speak the breath of life into our very hearts, Lord. We thank you, dear God, for the only hope we have in this world is through your Son, Jesus Christ. And all the church said, amen. You may be seated. You know, many of you heard that testimony, church, of this young man. But I couldn't help thinking about this young man again. How he lost two most important things in his life. He lost his mother and he lost his little sister in a matter of a year. And you know, the hardest thing, when I saw this boy's face, he still had something I had not seen in a young person in a long time. Who has gone through that? Someone outside of this church. Saw a young boy who was still content, who had some form of happiness. And as I think about this young boy, I was thinking, wow, what if I would have lost what he's lost? Because, church, he'll never see him again on this side. He'll never see him on this side of Jordan. And I say, and I spoke to this young man, and many of you heard my testimony, and I can't help but think about this young man. And as I was thinking of this path that his family has taken to serve God, I kept thinking of, Lord, what is the message you want me to preach, you want me to put together? And this road of mercy through walls of grace, this message came into my heart. Because it spoke volumes to me, church, of where we're at as a church. You know that the crossing of the Red Sea, and this might be a shock to many of you, you know that the crossing of the Red Sea is a myth according to the learned, the intelligent. Wikipedia, if you look it up, they refer to it as a myth. Many say it never happened. Many will tell you, the world is coming and telling you, you know what, it never happened. Archaeologists are sitting out there, scientists, people who are supposed to be learned or have some level of intelligence, saying it never occurred. Because to admit it occurred is to admit that there's a God. And to admit there's a God of miracles. And if there's a God of miracles, there's a God of accountability. And many people don't want that, to learn the intelligence of this world. Church, one day they're all going to bow before a mighty God. And all their learning, all their wisdom will be gone. You know, Wikipedia says the Exodus is the founding myth of the Israelites. In no church, if it was an Old Testament legend, then why does Paul refer to it in the New Testament? in 1 Corinthians 10, 1-4, which reads, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." The story of the Red Sea is legendary to us. Because, church, if we don't embrace some of these truths, we start to lose all the truths of the Word of God. And many Christian churches today are teaching a lot of falsehoods. A lot of Christian universities are teaching that it never really occurred. They were just myths. They were just stories put together for ignorant people. Well, church, last time I looked in the mirror, I don't think I was ignorant. Well, I hope. Well, other than what people think, I don't think I'm too ignorant, because I believe wholly in the Word of God. You know, church, when I think about my education, the classes I took in college to become an engineer, there was a lot of science involved. A lot of science, a lot of theories. But in all of that, church, it can all be wiped out in one day, because you know what? Jesus Christ is the one behind the science. Jesus Christ is the one behind the math. Jesus Christ is the one behind the physics. And Jesus Christ and my God will bend the rules for physics at any time He desires. Things we don't understand, the black hole, the things that we can't even comprehend. What about holding up a sea of water with unseen hands but a wind? This is an awesome God, church, that we serve. God is an awesome God, and God is greatly to be praised. But you know, the younger generation today is saying, "I don't believe in all of it. There's certain things I will not follow because I can't comprehend." How did He hold back the water? You know, church, I was going through this looking at just statistics, kind of putting the engineering side of me back on and saying, okay, how many people, about 2.4 million people? Our states, the state of Kansas, this will, Brother Robert, ranked 35th of all of our states. How many states are there? We'll better not ask some of our former presidents, because they probably don't know. How many states we have? Well, Kansas is 35th in population, 2.9 million people approximately. The state of New Mexico, 2.08 million people. Now, go with me. The whole state of Kansas lining up, coming down to Oklahoma, coming down to Chelsea, Oklahoma. I'm even looking for Ooliga Lake or something. Ooliga, the creek out here. Think about how many people would come down marching in some sense of order. That's not just people, church. That's even with their animals, with their goods, and with all the gold, everything they took from the world, we'll call Egypt the world, everything they were able to take out and say, you know what, we're going to use this to serve our God. That is a lot of people. We've never really thought about that. You know, I was thinking the city of Houston has 2.1 million people. That's a lot of people. You know, crossing of the sea would have been more than a mile wide to accompany that many people in that time period. We get this vision, church, of this small crossing and people 4, 5, 6 abreast, all, you know, shoulder to shoulder crossing. I'm not saying it was a stampede, church, but I'm saying that's a lot of people to cross. You put that many people end to end, you know how long it would have taken to cross. And you had young people. You had the elderly. You had some that may have been crippled. You had many, if they were pulling wagons, you had animals. You had a herd of animals. You think about just the amount of people coming across. And God orchestrates all that. God, you know, God uses nature to teach lessons to us. You know that? I heard a commentary one time that God could have actually solidified the Red Sea and they could have walked across it. The miracle of Jesus Christ. But God uses nature. Because we, as human beings, can comprehend more nature than we can those miracles. The only part we don't get is, how did He hold the water back and how did He dry the sea? But God is saying we're all on this journey. And the sea has opened. Okay. Exodus 14, 1-31. And I'm going to read, church, beginning with Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to go verse 1-31, and I'll have commentaries. And I will get to my points near the end of this message. So bear with me. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Siphon, before it shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. You know, church, the world is never satisfied in letting you go. If you've been out in the world, church, the world will not let you go. It will come and badger you, and it will come and constantly attack. It encourages your discouragement. You know, that's what the world does. It encourages your discouragement. It continues to build on your discouragement. It says your life is over and limited. Verse 4, And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Church, God will not be mocked. No matter how intelligent we think we are, God will not be mocked. At the time, Egypt was a powerful nation, one of the most powerful armies. You know, since the time of the Israelites, since the time of Exodus, Egypt has never been able to be the world power it was. It has never been able to recover. Egypt still struggles as a nation against a mighty God. You know, God, the children of Israel were the apple of his eye. And what they did when they enslaved the children, when they wouldn't let them go, God was going to do a miracle for the children of Israel, but he was also going to do a form of punishment for the world, because enough is enough. God will not be mocked. God will recover his honor. God will be known. Romans 14:11 reads, For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Isaiah 45:23 reads, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. How much more has to be said, church? We are all going to bow before a mighty God. The intelligent, those in the universities, those in government, those around the world are all going to bow. And it's no surprise, church, even the Antichrist is going to have to bow before Jesus Christ himself. They'll all bow because of who Jesus Christ is. This is the same Jesus that will move mountains. This is the same Jesus. I know this song was, we were talking about how we will not part the waters. I'm going to tell you, church, God is going to part the waters. He is going to create a path for those children. Sister April, Brother Matthew, you started them on that path. The sea has parted. They are going down that path of mercy. And it was told, verse 5, it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us, serving the world? Once again, the world will not be satisfied until it gets you back. Church, if we took a poll of those that have been in the world, and many of you this could say, you know what, if we all had to confess our sins one to another, the shock we would have about one another. Wow, I didn't know you did that. Brother Michael, I didn't know you were capable of doing that in your past. We would be totally shocked. But you know what? God has taken that and left that in Egypt. God has taken all that and left it behind in Egypt. And now he's told Moses, part the water. It is time to walk through to the promises. And he made ready his chariot, and we're talking about Pharaoh, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, besides Pihahiroth, before Baal Siphon. The world will always pursue you with everything it can throw at you, church. It will ensnare you and try to bring you back, just like the decision to leave the world will come with a price. And many times, church, we got to be willing to pay that price. Sometimes it's inconvenience. God will always provide a way out. And let me just say something. You know, many times there's inconveniences we're put through. And I'd actually like to thank an emphasis here on Brother Matthew and Sister April. Because for 3 years, they were inconvenienced in their lives. How many in this building would have done 3 years of work like they did? Really give it some thought. There was no promises at the end that you would retain these children, but they gave 3 years. How many of us would be willing to do that? The comforts of your home, everything you have, you're going to have to share. You're going to have to provide. How many of us would do that? I really thought about that this morning as I was praying with Brother Matthew. You know, that was a lot to give. And is the church willing to do that for our neighbors, for those people around us? Because church, you know where our mission field is? It's not in some other country. Our mission field is here in Chelsea. This is where the mission field is. And if we haven't been doing missions, we haven't been doing the things we need to be doing in this community church, many people will be left behind in Egypt. And the Moses of the world is going to open the Red Sea in part and allow giving us an opportunity for a road of mercy to go through these walls of grace, and many of those people will not follow. Somewhere along the church, we need to get back and understand that our mission field is here. And we witness that with those four children. Because church, they're on that same path we are. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, and God continues to tell us this, fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which we will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye will see them again no more forever. Fear not, stand still, see salvation. Church, isn't that what we do today? When we meet those that are broken along life's paths, we tend to encourage them. Really a basic message, the ABCs of salvation. And many times people are living in fear. There are a lot of people around us who are living in fear of what's going on around them. Someone is looking for a light out there, church, tonight. Someone is looking for an opportunity to say, I think there's something better, but I can't put my finger on it. I'm looking for somebody that can lead the way. And church, there's nobody out there but us. And they're saying, you're holding the torch. Can I follow your light? And many people are looking for that. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward. They were at the sea. Many times God says, go forward. God, I don't understand the circumstances. There's no place for me to go. I can't move forward. And God says, go forward. God, go forward, not to the left, not to the right. Don't turn back. You know, church, and many people think this is a harsh word that God had for Moses. But I believe God knew Moses' heart. He knew Moses didn't have that fear. Moses just looking for an answer. Okay, what is next? God knew his heart. Go forward, not to the left, nor to the right, or go back. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will give me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Now let me stop your church. If you were told, oh, by the way, I'm going to find a safe way for you to escape, but I'm going to go ahead and turn Satan loose. He's going to be right behind you. If you were told that, church, what would be going through your mind? I wouldn't look at Moses, the heart of Moses, a man of God who didn't have that fear, who said, okay, you're the God of miracles. You're going to open up the sea, and you're going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he's going to be furious, and he's going to come after us. But if God says, I'm going to get my honor, then you got to believe everything God says, because God is still a God of honor. God is still a God of his word. And behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh. Verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Everyone, the world is going to be judged. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And I found this interesting, church. Many times we think of the angel of the Lord leading us, but many times he's fighting the battles behind us. And you know what, church? I hadn't even thought about that when I read this. This is probably the only time that pillar, that fire, that cloud went behind them and created a wall of separation between the children of Israel, the church, and the Egyptians, the world. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. Because generally, God goes forward, moves forward. But he allowed them for a season as he dried out the sea so that there could be a way of escape. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. Get it? But it gave light by night to these, so that no one came not near the other all night. You know, church, God is still going to allow them. They're going to be in total darkness. They're going to remain in darkness. That's where the world is going to be. But on this side, he is going to provide light. And you know, that's what he did to the children of Israel. As they had a light, the Egyptians had darkness. Because God always has a plan, church. The angel of the Lord continues to work, even in our midst. Tonight, church, as we look at the country, the situation in our world, as we even look at this church. You know, earlier today for lunch, we were talking about, you know, we were all looking at guns and things like that, church. But, you know, it would take a lot of courage for someone to come into this church to harm people. But it would take just as much courage for someone to stand up and fight. And I thought about that. Are we really ready to die? Are we ready to meet our Maker? Where are we at with Jesus Christ tonight? Give me some thought. Moses knew what was coming towards him because Moses had the word. Open up the sea, stretch out your hand and open up the sea. But the enemy will be coming up behind you. I am going to harden his heart and they will be coming. And I think, Lord, are we ready? Because church, honestly, we go through the programs. We almost go through a ritual. We talk to the boys about camp. They all went to truth camp. I myself never went to any kind of camps growing up as a boy. We talk about all the great things of the church and what has gone on. We talk about all the miracles of the past. We hold on to traditions. And you know, church, in all of this, what is effective for the world to see? Is there something effective that the world can get a hold of? You know, I was thinking about this as I thought we had a question for the boys and Rangers. How many of the boys have read their Bibles once through? This is the sword. And sometimes that answer is pretty disturbing, church, because it's not because they're boys. But if we were to ask the adults in this room tonight, how many have read the Word of God from cover to cover? I am talking about the written Word of God. Not just listen to it, but actually read it. Because reading takes an effort. We know that. How many have done that? Well, we might be surprised and say, well, there's a few of us that have read it once. We're 58 years old. We're 60. We're 60. I'm not even going to give my age. We're so many years old. Does that mean I should have read the Bible once every year? How many of us have read the Bible more than 20 times? You know, church, I was thinking about this. I had an aunt that would read the Bible at least twice a year, continuously. And you know, at the end of her life, her children were not serving God. But she continued to hold on to that hope that someday they will come to the cross. And I thought, wow, that was a lot of dedication. That was a lot of reading. And she found time for God. And maybe we need to find. Because, church, at the end of it all, many people are going to come to us looking for a road of mercy. People are looking for a place to cross. The Spirit of God comes between us and the darkness surrounding us. Salvation brings light to those in need. Even in the darkest moment, it brings light. Sister April, it still brings light. You may think you're going through a dark time in your life, and it is dark, but you know what? There is still light. Because those children are light. There's four beacons of light out there that this church invested in for 3 years. It is a cloud of darkness to those that are in darkness, like I said. It creates a wall of separation between the old man and the new man. It goes before us to lead and behind to hinder. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. You know, church, generally when the east wind is spoken of in the Word of God, the east wind is generally judgment. And that east wind became a judgment for the world and a blessing for the children of Israel. You know, the east wind blew all night to dry that sea. But you know what? The children of Israel were blessed by that because of the east wind. 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So I'm going to get to my points now, church, after reading this. Just points to ponder. And I'll get to my three major positions on this. Pretty good chance the crossing took place at night. There was time. If you look at times, and many people have a lot of debate on this, a lot of discussion, just when the actual crossing took place. Was it during the day? Was it at night? When the wind blew all night? Just because of the way the text reads. You know, there was a long line of people and animals crossing. There were those people that were at the head of the line. There were those people that were in the middle of the line. And then there were those that were at the end. But it was all one group of people. There's three different positions on this road, church, on this road of mercy. There was three different groups of people going through this. The seabed was dry for all. That road of mercy was dry for all. You know what, church? God has provided a road of mercy for all of us. We all tonight have the ability to walk on that road of mercy. The walls of water were held back for all. Those are those walls of grace, church. They are still being held back tonight. So if you do the math, church, 20 people abreast walking 3 miles an hour, the distance in the apparent crossing where this place would have taken, where this probably would have taken place, how many hours would it have required to cross with 2.5 million people, including cattle? It could have been very possible, church. They could have taken them about 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours. They could have all gone across. Once again, we're always thinking of just one line, church. It was probably several miles wide. And you think, that is a lot of people. But we serve a great God. You know, there's a lot of speculation from the world saying that could never have happened. There's no way. The probability is that it could never have happened. The commitments of honor. You know, as I read through this, there was something that got my attention in the previous chapter, Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you." Because in Genesis 50, 24 through 26, it reads, "Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from thence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." You see, church, there's even commitments of honor. There was even a set of bones going along this path. Even the dead were given an opportunity to go along this roadway. We never think about that. Someone was carrying Joseph's body. Someone was carrying his coffin, his embalmed body, and you realize just how old his body was at that time. Mummified, wrapped up, a box of bones. But even the dead made that trip. Church, that road of mercy is open to everybody. Even if we think that we're dead because of the things that have happened in the world, you know that God will even allow those that have had so much in their lives, He will actually open the Red Sea for them too, church. And that's where we come into play. Is church, there are people out there that are wanting us to hold our hand, to reach out to them, to walk with them. Because there are many people out there that are looking for an opportunity to walk on that same path. But Joseph had made a commitment, and the children of Israel kept that commitment. A box of bones. The dead even shall carry, go along this path. God's grace created walls of water where there were no walls. He held back the walls of water to allow all to cross. He held up the walls for all to see. If there is 62.42796 pounds of water in 1 cubic feet or a foot, you can imagine how many cubic feet of water, how many tons of water that weight was upon that wall. Massive walls, a couple of miles long. That is a lot of water. You know, and there was one speculation. I read someplace where a man said it's improbable that if you took all the children of Israel, 2.2, 2.8 million people, and they all tried to splash water and push it back, which is really ridiculous. They were trying to humanize this thing. It's never going to work. Because theoretically, church, the world sits there and says, you know, it couldn't have happened. But I'm telling you, a God that can speak it, the same God who can have His Son, Jesus Christ, walk on water, the same God who can dry up the Jordan the same way, will do it again. And you know, church, today in our age, the world is looking for that pathway to cross the Red Sea. And we know where that pathway is. But many are stumbling as they even get to the opening. Many are looking for someone to lead them in that path. God's grace created walls. God's mercy provided a one-way road of escape where there was no road. All saw the walls, all walked the road. You know that God's mercy continues, Lord, to provide a one-way road of escape, church. He is still providing an escape for us. And as we get near the end of time, how many are going to be on that roadway with us? It's a scary thought. Yeah, I'm still trying to encourage my mom to get back into church. To no avail. She's still, at one time, church, she was in church. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember her from years ago. And I think now, it's a struggle. Because you get too comfortable with the world. Because you can say, I can take religion and just soften it up and please, and be okay with some parts of it. Because I want to be able to live a comfortable life where I don't have any accountability. And sometimes you take parts of the Word of God and say, I can live with this part, but I don't have to live with this other part. Church, you got to take it all or take it none. You know, the opening in the Red Sea was one roadway. It didn't have any forks in it, church. There was no way to get off that roadway once you started down that path. There was no way to, and you were not going to go back against the grain, against everyone else. Once you were on that path, you were committed. There are three points in that crossing that gives one thought of where many are today in Christianity in comparison to the children of Israel. My first point, there are those that were at the head of the line. They were the first to experience the miracle. They may have been part of the first wave to leave Egypt. They probably had a fear to cross. They may have lacked confidence, or they may have gained confidence. They probably would have been closer to the sea and the sun and the wind blowing all night. They were probably crossing first and looking forward. They could probably see the complete roadway stretching across the seabed. Maybe as they walked, they got further away from the enemy. As they walked, they knew that there will be many that will be following them. And probably many walked with family members close by. Second, there was those in the middle of the group watching the experience of those in front of us, in front of them. experiencing the same miracle, a dry roadbed and walls of water. Looking forward and knowing that they need to be further along on this road of mercy to get away from the enemy. Looking behind and seeing a multitude that are following the same course. Halfway there, may or not be able to see both shorelines. The third group, the group at the end, looking to experience the miracle, but the enemy is close behind. The urge to move quickly to get ahead. The only view they clearly had was the enemy. It was the enemy behind them and a lot of people in front. Cannot see the other shore because of the enemy behind them. They live a life of fear, but they have to commit to travel the road of mercy and pass through the walls of grace. These point to state the obvious, church, tonight. Too many Christians have raced to the head of the group with delight, but have forgotten the downtrodden along the same path. And this goes along, I think, that the themes that God has given me in the past few messages, church. We are living in a time of brokenness. There are a lot of broken people. There are a lot of hurting people. There are a lot of people that are making decisions not to serve God or only go halfway there. There are a lot of people that are dying inside. There are a lot of people that have died spiritually. Saying to the church in Chelsea, Oklahoma tonight, what are you doing for those people? He is looking at me and saying, what are you doing for those people? You know, church, we want to live comfortable lives. We come into church. I think Brother Lucas touched on this last time. We're supposed to be in prayer, yet many times we have conversations going on in the church instead of people praying. And this is where it's going to be the big ouch. Because for myself, church, I need to spend more time in prayer. For many, it becomes a free-for-all. We kind of do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. God is looking for people that are saying, I'm going to commit to a time of prayer. It's time to light up heaven with prayer. It's time to allow God's army, to be part of God's army, to allow God's army to march even through this building and say, you know, God, we're ready. We're right on the edge, church, and I keep saying that. We're right on the edge of those miracles Chelsea needs so bad. The city of Vinita needs so bad. Northeast Oklahoma needs so bad. The state of Oklahoma needs so bad. This country needs so bad. We are right on the edge, but what are we missing? I think God puts it, I've already parted. I've already had Moses part the Red Sea. I've already dried the roadway, the path. Now it's up to you, church. As you walk down this path, what are you going to do? As you're walking down this path, there are many that you're going to see to your left and to your right. Many just need a helping hand. There are many outside the walls of the church that are somewhere along this roadway. Church, when we don't spend any time in prayer, we're just as powerless. You know, Moses, God knew Moses' heart. And when Moses took that staff and he waved it over the water, I can imagine just the noise it made. You can imagine the roar. There was no thunder, church. I think just the roar of water. Millions of gallons of water being pushed back in two directions. Just imagine that sight. Imagine if you were the enemy on the other side or someone part, a native on the other side of that Red Sea. And you could look from a distance and you would see that water opening up. What would you be thinking? Because this was taking place at night. You would hear a roar. But I'm sure the children of Israel had a light to walk with. There was probably some light for all to see. You think, what would you be saying? A miracle of miracles. But church, I'm looking for those miracles. I think we're all looking for those miracles. Those miracles aren't going to take place anyplace else but here. We've talked about wanting miracles for healing. Brother Matthew, healing in your body. Church, I am looking forward to those healings. I am looking forward to miracles. And I think God says you're this close. But we have one more thing. What is it, Lord, that we're lacking? Is it time? Is it maybe it's time that we start getting uncomfortable with ourselves and we step out of a comfort box. Because church, this is not, we limit ourselves by these walls. We put up this building, but we're limited. We limit ourselves because we think this is the church. The church is out there. Those four children that are now in the with their mother, or those four kids will never know the battles that were probably fought on their behalf, the spiritual battles. But that's okay, because those battles need to continue to be fought. You know, I think about miracles, even for the Byron kids. You know, there's a miracle there in itself, church. But it's not over yet, because Mama's going to come to the cross. It's not over yet. It's not just praying for Mom, for the situation. She's going to come to the cross. Church, it's about getting those ones in our past, in our those that we have loved, those that we've held their hands in the past. It's about getting them on that same path, on that road of mercy, and carrying them with us. Because many times we get so far ahead in that line, and we say, Lord, we want to cross and get to the other side of promise, to begin our journey to the final promised land, Lord. We want to get there. And many times God says, you need to look behind you and see who's coming. Because many are following you and following your example. And there's many you need to hold their hand. Because many are falling down along this path. You need to pick them up. Well, Lord, it's going to be an inconvenience. It's going to slow me down. That's okay. Slow down. You have time for now. Because the walls of grace are still up. That road of mercy hasn't been closed off yet. We still have an opportunity. Many walk alone, church. They're beat down. They're desperate. They've been in Egypt too long, and Egypt continues to demand their slavery to them. Many look back to see that Egypt they left behind is more satisfying than the Christian experience on the roadway. That's got to hurt, church. You know, many people say, I had more fun in the world than I have in church. The hurting, church, tonight are not seeking for entertainment on this road of mercy through these walls of grace. And this is something that hit me, church, right between the eyes. They're not interested in your playing abilities, but in your prayers. They're not interested in your abilities, but in your availability. They're not interested in your singing, but in your song. They're not interested in your expertise, but in your experience. They're not interested in your same old testimony, but in a new testimony. They're not interested in what you do for a living, but how you are living. They look to see if your life is worth living up to. They want someone to hold their hand and lead them along the roadway. They want somebody to walk with them. They want something real and true. Church, let us show miracles and reasons. Let us show them power and purpose. Tonight, the church has dried out. You know, church, as this morning, as service is going on, standing up here, I think we've talked about many times, you get a visual of everybody in church. And you know who's distracted and who's not, who's paying attention and who's not. And many times we have so many things going on in our lives, we're so busy. Our minds are always churning. I'll be honest, church, I have stuff that I got to deal with at work tomorrow that's just churning in my mind. And I'm saying, God, I want to focus on your message. And the enemy comes behind and pokes and says, nah. You know what? I'm gonna stress you out a little bit more. God, I don't want any stress. I don't need stress, Lord. I just need you. Comes along and says, guess what? You have to deal with this tomorrow. Sister Pepper, you gotta take care of this tomorrow. Pastor, make sure you take care of this, or you'll be answering to Sister Pepper. All these things are going through your mind. Reminders of things we need to do. And we do that. But you know, God is saying, I need your total attention. Is it possible, church, that God says, if everyone in this sanctuary at the same time focused on Jesus Christ, focused on the Lord, from the young to the old, at the same time in unity, like in the book of Acts, could we actually get the fire burning even brighter? I think the answer is yes, church. I think it's yes. But how do we get there, church? We have to understand that we're all on the same roadway. We're walking this road of mercy. And we need to carry our fellow brothers and sisters. And we need to show them how to walk this roadway. And many times we want to get to the front so that we don't have to deal with the stuff in the back. But many times, church, we need to deal with the stuff in the back, because there's people that have just started crossing that are saying, we just left Egypt and I still have issues, things I got to deal with back there. And many times God is saying, why don't you wait for them? Why don't you go back and grab their hand and hold them? Why don't you take time out of your life, your busy life, and reach back and grab hold of somebody's hand and say, you know what, it's going to be okay. Because once we get through this, we're all going to get through this together. Because at the end of it all, church, we will meet Jesus Christ. You know, it's not so complicated. We need to show them power and purpose. We need to show them miracles and reasoning. How many of us have relatives that tonight will end up in a devil's hell? I have them, church. And I fear for them. We all have them. And it's that time that God is saying, I've opened up the Red Sea. I've parted the waters. I've dried up the roadway. You have an opportunity. Church, let me conclude this thought. And I know this is a short message. As long as the road of mercy is available and the walls of grace stay, there is hope. The day will come when the last of the called has made it through the sea. Then the walls of grace become walls of judgment. Walls of judgment are coming, church. Walls of judgment are coming. Tonight, as I'm speaking, the walls are still up and the roadway is still available. God in his justice provided a tumbling wall. You know that God, when he was done and judgment came, you know that he allowed the water to go back to its natural use, which is, it's a sea. That was judgment. And today people are saying, well, I don't believe, because there's so many people that have created stumbling blocks along this roadway. Instead of walking forward, many of the churches have put up rules. The only way you're going to be able to walk along this roadway is you've got to dress this way, you've got to act this way, you've got to be this way, you've got to sing this way. There's so many rules we've set up. I want you to consider that the children of Israel, they were all told to walk through. There was even Egyptians with them. They were told just to walk and get through the sea. They were all given that same roadway. They were all given that same path. See, God was not looking at the outside. God was looking at the inside. And yes, later on they fell into judgment. But church, God is giving us an opportunity tonight. The sea is still open. That roadway is still open. And right now, church, it's a big, wide roadway for many people to go through. But it's starting to narrow, church. I want you to think about this. The walls are starting to close in. Because that pathway is becoming narrower and narrower. And the day will come when it will close. And church, we don't want anybody left behind. We want to go forward. God is looking for people who are willing to step it up. The game now requires we step it up, church. You know, I can't rely on past. We always have discussions, and I've always thought about these, you know, past revivals and past meetings, and that was a great man of God, and this, you know, church, that stuff, people aren't interested in that. People are interested right now in what goes on at this altar right now. People are interested is when they walk in these doors right now of this newly refurbished building, that when they come in, they feel God himself. They don't want to talk about experiences from back then. They want to talk about what about now? Because I'm hurting now. Someone that passed on 25 years ago isn't going to feel my hurt. But you, the church, will. God is looking for the experience of now. Every experience we have, church, starts now. It starts at these altars. You know, and as I was speaking, and I mentioned this to the boys, you know, these altars to me, growing up, were very sacred. When I prayed with Brother Matthew, I told Brother Matthew, put everything on the altar, including sickness, diabetes, and tell God, you know, God, burn it up, quench it, remove it. Many times we're told, go to the altar and pray about it and leave it at the altar. Don't take it back with you. And many times we take it back. And I look at these altars and I think, wow, what do they represent to me? Maybe I'm just old-fashioned, church, but you know, I was looking at one of these altars the other day. I was just kind of looking at it, talking to the boys, and I saw a scratch on one of them, the woodwork. And I thought, now, how do we match the scratch, the woodwork on the altars? And I thought about it, but that's all of us. We all just kind of take it for granted too many times. We take too many things for granted too many times, church. Everything. even this sanctuary, this place, this pulpit, we take it for granted. God is saying, I don't need you to take it for granted. I need you to take someone's hand. I need you to get hold of somebody. God is willing to get hold of somebody, but many times God is saying, I'm going to get hold of somebody through you. Church, are we up to it tonight? The staff hasn't passed over the sea. The path hasn't closed. The sea is still open. And God is saying, I'm giving you one more opportunity tonight. And I've often said that God is a God of grace. 1 Peter 3:8 reads, finally, be all ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. 1 John 3:17 reads, but whoso hath his world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowls of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Jude 1:22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Church, I don't know how my message fits into this chain messages that someone's been putting together. This is just something God gave me 2 weeks ago. I don't know how it flows with the rest of the messages that came through. I'm just putting together what God gave me. And you know, church, many times we become unpopular for the things we say and the things we do. But church, there's something about, that I consider sacred growing up, and that was these altars. That was the pulpit. That was the church building itself. That was the sanctuary. And if we don't respect it, in church, we expect strangers to come in and not respect our God either. It's about respect, I think. And many of you may agree with me and say, well, that's right, or disagree. But church, I'm saying is, God is looking for people that are willing to light up this place on fire. It's okay, church, for this building to burn because of God's glory. It's all right to let it burn, church, because God will build another one. It's okay, church. But the fire needs to start. Let the pulpits be burned up. Let them be worn out with tears. Let them be stripped down the polish. And Sister Pepper can't even keep up with it because it's stripped down because of all the salt in the tears of people that have laid down their burdens on these altars. And let it be that way, church. Let the carpet be worn out there. It's okay. But let's wear it out. God is saying wear it out. Because that road is still open. That sea is still open. And we are looking for a few more people that need to come through. Church, I need to grab my mom's hand and pull her along. I have two brothers who right now are still in Egypt that I need to pull out. And that's going to be a battle, church. But where do we fight our battles? We fight them on our knees. We fight them on these. Church, this is a beautiful sanctuary. Take advantage of the altars. Take advantage of this prayer time. Take advantage of those opportunities we have, church, because those, just like the sea starting to close up, church, those opportunities are going to start to close up. As we get further and further along, those opportunities are going to start to fade. Church, many of us have loved ones that we want saved tonight. And I always go back to that. Our ministry is outside these walls. There are a lot of people out there who need Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, church, that I feel it in my heart. As God gave me this message, I realized that many times there are things that are done, and you know, we do things in jest or we do things just to lighten things. But you know, the one thing that we need to take so serious anymore, church, is the prayer. The quantity of prayer we have. We come in for prayer time, and Sister Pepper's up here praying. I've heard her prayers. We all should be flooding this place with prayers. And just saturate this place, church. So when the stranger comes in through these doors, or the stranger walks outside of these doors, in front of this building, they're going to be drawn in. Because that's what draws them in many times, church. It's not all the lights. We can repaint this whole building and really make it attractive. It's going to be what's coming from the inside. Something is going to pull them in. It's time to do that, church. If somebody can please come up to the piano. Just wanted to conclude with this thought, church, that it's not too late tonight, this hour. The pathway is still open. Tonight is the night to say, you know, God, I want to commit everything I have to you. because I am walking along the same pathway as everyone else. I am walking along that same roadway, Lord, and I can see the walls, Lord, of grace being held up by your mighty hand. And I don't want those walls to become walls of judgment. Lord, I want to walk this, but you know, God, I pray that I can take hold of my brother's hands. I pray that I can take hold of this children. I can take hold of that neighbor. Lord God, give me an opportunity to grab hold of one more time, Lord, before it's too late. And God says many times, we're that close to a miracle. We're that close to a miracle. The person you would never think would get saved is going to get saved. The person that you would never think would speak in tongues is going to speak in tongues. The person that you would never think would even be in church is going to be the person laying hands on people for healing. We never think about those things, church. But God is the God of the impossible. He will make things possible. These young girls or these young boys here in the front, what if they are the key to a life, to a world, to a ministry of healing? What if it comes out of them? Are we training them enough? What if it's somebody else in this church, one of these young boys, one of these young girls? What if it's one of them? Maybe it's time we find out. God is saying, don't put me to the test. God is saying, test yourselves. It is time for us to be tested, church. It is time for us to light heaven up with our prayers. God is looking for a few good people that are willing to do that. And I'm saying, church, tonight, this is a good group of people. But it's time we step it up a notch. And sometimes we think, well, up to what level do we get to? God doesn't have a level. We just got to keep going and going and going. When the children of Israel crossed, they didn't stop a third of the way through or a three quarters of the way through. They went all the way across. When they crossed the Jordan, you know, someone decided they wanted to camp on this side, but God said, you know what? Joshua told them, you know what? You can camp here, but guess what? You're going to help. You're going to fight those battles on that side because that is your duty. And you know what? They all went across that Jordan. Church, tonight, no more talking about the Red Sea. Let's talk about the Jordan now and say, God, I want to cross the Jordan now, but I want to leave monuments. And those monuments are going to be the testimonies of these young people, the testimonies of this church. Let there be one big monument in Chelsea, Oklahoma. And it's going to be this place at this time. And people saying, you know what? You want firepower? You better go attend a church service. And it's not because they play so well together. It's not because they preach so well together. It's not because them. It's because the presence of God exists in that place. Every time you walk through those doors, you feel it. You feel that fire. You feel that power. God is saying, you're this close. You're this close. How much closer can we get? Church, we can feel it. We just got to get to it. We can all stand tonight and just consider, church, for a season. Just consider, church, that you're walking along this path and there is someone in your life that you want to reach the other end of the shoreline with you. I know with Brother Matthew and Sister April, I go back to them again, those children, or even Brother Matthew's brother. They're looking for someone to hold their hand. The prayers ought to be, Brother Matthew, Sister April, that you're going to find them along that pathway and you're going to continue to march them through. Because God is saying, I want everyone to get through this. We're all going to get through this, church, together. But it starts with us. It starts with firepower. It starts with us putting everything God into prayer. Church, I want, my desire would be to have one of these young, I'd want Michael to be able to pray for me for healing. You know, I think of years and years ago, my wife developed a cyst on her wrist. And I remember as a little boy, Larry laid hands on her and prayed for her. A simple prayer and she was healed. It was gone. And I always think about that. I always go back and think, God can do it through a little boy. God can do it through a little girl. God can do it through any of us. Many times we need to become childlike in the way we think about God because we become so adult. We start to make so many logical explanations for this and that. And God is saying, just simply make it simple. It's that simple. Simplicity. Use the word simple. That's what God wants. Salvation is simple. Just accept, believe, confess, and move on. Go down the path. Cross the Jordan. Cross the Red Sea. God is saying, just make it simple. But spend time with me. Be the next Moses. Be the next Joshua. Be the next Caleb that says, you know what? I want that mountain with those giants. You know, church, I was thinking about David. I thought, you know, if David was crossing the Red Sea, and he was facing five or six giants, you know what David would have done? David would have picked up five or six more smooth stones if David was at that time was available. And he would have gone after those giants and said, get off the way, get out of my path. David would have been looking to take out each one, not to miss, but David would have been looking, I'm going to remove these obstacles. That's what King David would have done. Church, that's what God's looking for, someone. Someone that says, we're going to keep walking. Let's not provide any paths of stumbling. Let's provide a way for people to get through and walk through and get to the other end. Church, Jordan is not that far off for many of us. But for now, we're that close to those miracles. God is looking. It's time for Chelsea, Oklahoma to see firepower. It's time for people who go home on Sunday nights to say, you know, my Sunday nights are family nights. Nope, there's something going on at that church I got to go see. Because every time they have church service, that whole church glows, the whole place, there's something that draws me to that place at that time. I want to know what it is. People are looking for something real, church. Let's give them something real tonight. Let's all gather around these altars tonight and ask God to give us something. Something that we can hold on to. Latch on to something. And say, God, I want to take this person with me. I want to take that person. I want to hold some hands and go across the Red Sea with them. Because God is still a God of miracles. And God is still answering prayer tonight, church. And God will continue to answer. Father God, finish this message tonight, Lord. Finish this message in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Finish it tonight.
The shrine of plenty, but found its storerooms all filled with dust. I bowed at altars of gold and silver. So I worship only. Jesus.